Verse 12, be happy about it. That God blesses you is also happy are those who mourn. If you want to look at it a little different way in that series that we did, that word blessed means happy. I am so happy. I am. I think I am just so encouraged about so many things in this life and our time together and things that we're going through, because it's like that scripture in Joshua. The more that we practice our faith, the stronger we'll get. And I have faith that this virus thing will be conquered. I don't think God will leave us in the mess that we're in. I think that we'll be able to come back to some kind of normal thing, whatever normal is. Because I know it's been a tough time. And only a few days before the election of the century, and the tensions are high all around. I'm grateful that this church is a polling booth. I keep getting a phone call on the message thing, and I tried to call him back before the service, and it was busy. A man by the name of Mr. Green, he's legally blind, but he knows and he thinks that this is his polling place here, which it is. And he wanted me to call him back to remind him that it is. So after church, I'll try to get a hold of him, and if I don't, I'll call him later on today. But what's at stake has to do with the way people are feeling right now, especially in this equally historic pandemic. COVID-19 has changed the way that we live. Amen? I know it has for me. It's changed the way we work, the way that we look at life, and more importantly, how we look at relationships and how we treat others. The way we look at what we most value is different. While many of us continue to at least to adjust to these minor changes, such as working from home, doing church in all different ways, which all of us had experienced, changing even exercise routines, eating out on patios or porches or eating outside rather than eating inside the restaurants, wearing masks, learning to enjoy the simpler things in life. But for others, this COVID thing has felt more like a wicked curse. Huge numbers of people are completely out of work, trying to make ends meet in any way that they can. Retirees have seen their stocks fall and their savings disappearing. Children are struggling for food with going to school online, especially the way we developed things in the last few years about schools and how schools became an important part of feeding some of the children that don't have resources at home. We did that even here at the church. Travis and Tina too, and Carol Morgan would make arrangements to pick them up in the bus that the church bought, bring them here, feed them breakfast before church, and then feed them lunch afterwards. Some of these young people are not getting that kind of meals anymore. Now, I think some of the school districts have been delivering them to their houses, which is a wonderful thing. At least they're doing that in Jefferson County, and I think they're doing some of that here. But it has ravaged families. People live with a constant fear of contracting the potentially deadly virus that eats away at their peace and their well-being on an everyday basis, or maybe even on an hourly basis. And people long for the social interaction, but fear has consequences. The choice between fear of death or hospitalization or loneliness or isolation seems to be really unfair. It's a predicament that we're in. Grief is rampant in our society. And the fallout of a world mourning has caused already a fractured nation to reel with unrest, polarities, dissension. We as a people are hungry for rest, change, and an end to all of this suffering and disruption in our lives. We just want to have it stop. Enter Jesus. Now, we've been blessed to go to that place in the Sea of Galilee on the mountainside, a very lush, beautiful place where Jesus sat and talked to the disciples. It's a wonderful place where he presented this, what we call the Beatitudes. He had and must have had a very similar feeling in the crowds the day that he went and set up on that hillside in Capernaum. Very beautiful, lush, green place in northern Galilee. And coming to see him were those who were harboring for hope, for something, anything, the change of the life that they were leading in that day in Israel. People were tired. Money was tight. Work was hard. Taxes were steep. Disease was rampant. We forget about some of the stuff of our forefathers, what they had to go through. And this particular time in Israel, disease was rampant. In fact, some historical sociologists believe that a virus had driven many away from that area of Nazareth and pushed them up to the north shore in Capernaum and other little harbor towns that go around the lake. Rome felt that they had them under control. Rome was very oppressive. And so did the local governments of the time. Faith was rare. Revolts were common. Bloodshed was almost an everyday occurrence. The atmosphere was politically charged and economically challenged. So imagine with us for a moment for the curious and the confused look when Jesus begins to speak. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and all kinds of evil against you, falsely accusing you, especially on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, for the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessings are a graciousness. Be humble and filled with gratitude for the way of life that was advocated by the Jewish faith before Christianity. They celebrated and did the Jewish faith. Jesus was raised as a Jewish man, so they knew what he was talking about. To live a blessed life is to find a way to feel God's face shining upon you. You know, one of that Aaron blessing that we do, and I kind of make my own version of it, that may God's face shine upon you to be blessed. God has his eye upon us. I like that when the people do this. And I don't know if it's sign language or what it is, but we've come to know that when people do this and go like that, they, you know, hey, they're watching me, both good and bad, maybe, I don't know. But to remember God is to be blessed, because he is the source of all goodness and grace, and that God has his eye upon us, especially in our difficult moments. His eye is on the sparrow, so you know he's watching over me. God never forgets us, even though sometimes we think that he has. God never forgets you. In fact, he's got, the scripture says he has your name written in the palm of his hand. So to remember that in the midst of our sorrows and challenges and all that kind of stuff, we rely on our heartfelt hope. Can you imagine going through this life without hope? To be blessed is to experience remembrance. I like what it says in Proverbs 10:7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing. Memory and blessing are tied together. It's a kind of an unbreakable braid that when we remember God and our relationship with God, God's bountiful mercy and love, God's loving care and compassion, God's personal intent and concern for our well-being, we experience the joy of that peace that passes all understanding. God's blessing upon our countenance, and it lifts us up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher.